The Mishnah on the top of Daf Kuf Beis Omer Aleph is going to extend and expand on what we learned in Periklal Gadol back in the 7th Perik with regard to Shogeg. And we want to know how the definition of Shogeg applies to various scenarios in Zorek, in Melecha Zrika. So the Mishnah opens by saying, "Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar sheyotza miyodo." So he throws the object from one rishus to the other, and before it lands, he bangs himself and he remembers, "Oh, today is Shabbos." Now, technically, although you might object to this, but the situation at this moment in time when he reminds himself in Shabbos is that of a mezid. He's no longer shogeg. On the other hand, what can he do if he's already thrown the object? There's no way that he can call it back. So that's number one. Now what's very challenging about this Mishnah, just on a level of pshat, is that there's one word missing from the Mishnah, and that is the word O. It should have said or, and let me give you another, because the Mishnah is going to give us a whole list of categories, of scenarios, in which you're potter from a karban chatas. And I thought the first, and the Gemara is going to be with me on this, that the first category would be when he becomes amazed midway through the implementation of the malacha. So he was not a shogeg from the tchilas ha-malacha to the end of the malacha. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. Instead, the Mishnah says, kolta acher. It doesn't say, oh, kolta acher. It doesn't say, well, I'll give you another scenario. But rather, kolta acher, which means somebody catches the object midway in flight, and therefore the Zorek did the akira, and the one who caught the object, he's called a kolet or kolta, he's the meniach. And if you recall, we discussed that ze oker v'ze meniach, everybody agrees you're potter. Les van de Polik. We had machlokas in with regard to shnayim shasu, if let's say two people did a malacha where each one could have done the malacha on his own, or on the contrary, where they needed each other together as a joint effort. Is he chayev, is he potter? That's the sugya called Shnayim Shasu. But one thing is absolutely clear. Ze oker v'ze meniach, shneim p'turim. That's already the Mishnah at the Anfang, the first Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos already establishes that principle. Now another scenario in which the Mishnah says you're potter is klota kelev. So an animal, a dog in this case, grabs onto the object. Let's say it was a piece of food, for argument's sake, doesn't have to be. And the animal jumps up and grabs the food mid-flight. So once again, you didn't do the hanoch. Now there could be another scenario in which you throw it and the recipient, whether it's a human being or a kelev, is totally passive. Like you can theoretically, you have to engineer this, but you can throw something into the mouth of a dog. And the dog didn't grab it mid-flight. It landed in the mouth, if you're a good shot, it landed in the mouth of a dog. Or what we mentioned in the past, the Willie Mays catch, right? So the recipient just sticks his hand out like this, and you drop it into his hand. You throw it into his hand. But that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where the hanocha was done actively by either a kelev or by acher. Oh, now we have a third scenario, nisrafa, which means that the object, before it landed, burnt. It was consumed by fire. And in this case, that's not called a hanocha, because the object just is consumed by the flames. Where's the hanocha here? Now, in the case of the mouth of a dog, let's assume that the dog was totally passive. I mentioned to you that if you throw something into the mouth of a dog, it could be possible that you would be chayev if the dog is totally passive. However, we have to add another precondition to Melechus Hotzah. It's not enough that you're responsible for the hanocha, but it's got to be hanocha in a makom dalet al dalet. So if you throw it into someone's hands, the Gemara has a principle at the first perek, yado shel adam chashuv alei kedalet al dalet. However, with regard to the mouth of a dog, you'd have to have a gigantic dog beyond imagination to have a width of four tefachim inside its mouth. So maybe if you threw it into the mouth of, I don't know if there's such a thing, an elephant's mouth maybe is four tefachim wide, I don't know. But not, or maybe a lion, I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. But not in the case of a dog. So it's very possible that when we say that there's no chiyuv chatos here, when he throws it into the mouth of a dog, it could be that the dog doesn't even have to catch it midair in order for you to be potter. You'd be potter even if it lands with total passivity on the part of the dog, if the dog's mouth is not a wide by dalet amas, dalet tefachim, excuse me. Now, in the case of flames, would it make any difference if the area where the flames are burning would be four tefachim wide? So the way we present it, it would make no difference. I don't care how wide the flame is. This is not a hanocha, because the object is just up, you know, it turns into smoke. So that's part one in this mission. Okay, then now again, keep in mind that the real challenge in part one is to figure out what's the combination of A plus B. A, he remembered that it was Shabbos midway while the object was in flight, and B, it landed in the mouth of a dog. I mean, that's like two different entities that don't in any way overlap. They don't combine. You know, one is, was he a shogeg? Was he amazed? He has to be a shogeg from beginning to end. In the middle, he became amazed. He knew it was Shabbos. And the other is an issue of hanocha. Did he have hanocha in a makom dalet al dalet? Or maybe he didn't even have hanocha at all, because the person who received it, he grabbed it from midair. The combination of A plus B is very, very perturbing. Now we go to Hakofa Beis, Roman numeral number 2. Zorak lasos chabura. So he throws an object and he tries to wound a person. Now we're not talking about Meleches Hotzah. We're not talking about Rishus Lushus. But rather we're talking about Meleches Netilas Neshama. Although, again, he's not necessarily killing the person, but he's wounding the person. And once he wounds the person, that's called chovel bechavero, and there's a meleches chabura on Shabbos. Now, at this point, we're not getting into questions of akira and hanocha over here. We're talking about a maisa chabola, and he's chayef for meleches chovel, as a told of Netilas Neshama, but the issue is a totally different issue. It's not like in the ratio where we have Zrika without a Hanocha. Here we have a Zrika, there's no issue of Hanocha. The issue is, what happens if he reminds himself, Oive, it's Shabbos. He doesn't seem to care about the Chabura of the other guy. That is on his agenda, you know, for whatever reason. But what he's upset about is that he's violating Shabbos. Or maybe he's not even upset, but at least he's aware of the fact that it's Shabbos. So here the Mishnah takes on head on the issue of Tchiloso v'sofo b'shogeg. And the Mishnah therefore says, Nizkarat shelo nasis chabura, before the object lands, let's say it's a sharp object, on its victim and makes its wound, he reminds himself that it's Shabbos. Pot. And on this last case, we have what I call Roman numeral 3 in the Mishnah, Zaklal. Now, whenever you see Zaklal in a Mishnah, as we've discussed many times in the past, it's obviously coming to add something. And we don't know exactly what the Mishnah is adding, but it says, Kol chai v'chataos, ein chayoven ad shetei tchilosan v'sofan b'shkoga. So you need that the beginning and the end be one long, continuous shkoga. And tchilosan shkoga v'sofan zodon, tchilosan zodon v'sofan shkogan, is pturim. Ad shetei tchilosan v'sofan shkoga. I mean, the Mishnah is unusually verbose, but we get the point. We've learned what is a shkoga. To qualify as a shkoga, it's got to be mitchilosan, sofan b'shkoga. This guy throws something at his friend, a sharp object, while it's in mid-air. He reminds himself it's Shabbos. And the Zakal tells me exactly what we knew anyway, that in the case where he reminds himself in Shabbos, one, the object is on its way before it hits its victim, he's potter from a chatos, because it's not Trilos of Esofan B'Shkoga. And we wonder why the Mishnah felt compelled to add this Zaklal at the end. Okay. Alright. Now, before we start the Gemara, let me just say a word by way of introduction. The Gemara is now going to go back to analyze the first of the three paragraphs of this Mishnah. And again, he threw something in a Rishus HaRabim, and he remembers it's Shabbos after it left his hand, and the object was intercepted by a dog, or by another person, or landed in a fire. So how do we learn this? It sounds like, you know, if we apply our, I call it Hilchas Diyukim, that the Diyukim in our Mishnah is, we don't need Chiloso V'Sofo B'Shkoga. On the contrary, the Mishnah talks about a case where Nizkar Achar Sheyotza B'Yodo, and the only reason he's Potur is because there was no Anocha. It was grabbed by someone else, etc., etc. The implication is that if it had landed on its own, without the intervention of another human being, of a dog, of this, he would be chayav. Because again, the word O is missing here. So if it's one flowing scenario that the Mishnah is describing, where he was nizkar, and then he didn't have hanocha because there was an intervention of some other this, that's why he's potter. The Gemara says, Hanocha Chaya. Apparently, if it would have landed on its own, then he'd be Chaya. In fact, the Gemara of Alo Nizkar, what's going on over here? He remembers midway that it's Shabbos. Utnan, let's fast forward to the end of our Mishnah. Kol Chayove Chatos, Ein Chayove Ad Shetihe, Tchilosan v'sofan b'shkoga. This is not Tchilosan v'sofan b'shkoga. The Mishnah says explicitly, hol v'nizkar me'achas shiyotza yoda. And the reason he's part of it is for another reason. His saving factor here is that there was no anocha. Now, you know, if I would have wanted to go the simple route here to reconcile this Mishnah and make it into some sort of to salvage the integrity of the Mishnah when it seems like the Mishnah is contradicting itself from the Reishit to the Sefer, I would have just liked to have added the word O. You know, I like the easy way out. You know, Chisurei Mechzurei V'Achik Tani. And what I want to analyze with you is it true, I'm going to contend, that at some point, at the end of this whole discussion, the Gemara is actually going to add the word O, out of total desperation. But we've got a long ways to go before that. And the Gemara initially is going to take our diuk very seriously, and then figure out when do we apply this principle that it has to be trilosim v'sofam v'shkaga, otherwise he's not chay. Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana is going to now whittle down the ze'aklal. It's not what you think it is. It's not that a person initiates a malacha, he's got to be a shogeg straight through. And if at some point he becomes amazed, he's potter. But rather, says Rav Kahana, now this is Berzon talking here, Rav Kahana doesn't say what I'm about to say, so I'm, in a sense, maybe I'm prejudicing you, I don't know, but you're the jury, you have to decide if what I'm going to tell you now is what Rav Kahana has in mind. But what I think he has in mind is that you need Sofan Bishgaga to set up a Maisa Avera, let's say in our case, a Maisa of Malacha. Now what does that mean, to set up a Maisa Malacha? So let me give you an example. This was, I was in the Rav Shir for about 5 years. I remember on one occasion the Rav gave me a major compliment. I mean, in 5 years. So I was trying to explain the Bali Atosis and the Sugya in Gittin. And the Bali Atosis say that if a woman who's receiving a get is clamping her hands down, and the Baal stuffs the get into her fist, so to speak, her clamped fist, so there's going to be a machlokas whether that's considered a gerishin or not. Why? So I tried to explain, in my own language there, in the Rav Shir. You have to imagine, it's very intimidating. There were over 100 geniuses in the Shir. I was like, the cotton ship of Chabura there. But, so I tried to explain that sometimes a person doesn't have to do an action in order to do an action. What do I mean? It could be that this is called Tli Gitech Mal Gabi Karka, where she took the get, even though she didn't take the get, but since what facilitated her tfisa on the get was the fact that she had her hands clamped, and she could have easily loosened her clamp. The fact that she remains, with that, using her forearm muscles to clamp down her fist, that makes it into Tli Gitech. She's actually taking the get. And I didn't get a chance to share this with Rav Soloveitchik at that time, but what I wanted to share with him is, he didn't need me for this, but a Gemara in Makkos, that the Gemara in Makkos says that if a Nazir or a Kohen is stuck in a Beis HaKvaros, and he entered into the Beis HaKvaros with his own volition, then he gets another set of malchus, the Gemara says in Makkos, for every moment that he doesn't leave the Beis HaKvaros. We give him X number of minutes, to leave the Beis HaKvaros, and if he remains in the Beis HaKvaros, he'll get a second set of malchus for that. So Tosus asks, I don't get it. We have a principle of lav shein bo maisa ein lokan olav. And the fact that he's remaining passively in a cemetery, that's not a maisa. So the answer is, this is for famous Shagas Aryeh, that since he entered in to the cemetery with volition, nobody dragged him in, then remaining in that situation, when we give him asro, we say, get the heck out of here, you're in a cemetery. And he decides, no, I'm going to rebel, I'm going to remain in the cemetery. That's considered a maisa. It's an amazing chiddush, because it means that in the halachic world, if you continue an original maisa, but not actively, but simply passively, you could have retracted it and terminated it, and you didn't, then it's considered a continuation of your maisa. Ad kedei kach, maybe you'll get malchus for that, in the case of a nazir or a kohen who remains in a beis hakvaros. Now, if you're following me, I wanted to apply that to the case of a woman who is tightening her fist, that makes it impossible for the husband to get back, because otherwise if she has what's called Meshicha Biyado, that the get could still be removed, that's not an Asina. She's the one who makes it impossible for him to draw back the get. And that's considered tli gitech. That's considered, according to one shita, as if she was actively taking the get, even though all she's doing is remaining passive. So let me see if I can convince you that that's what Rav Kahana has in mind, and he reinterprets this mission of Zeh HaKlal, Eino Chayav Ad Sheitchilasa V'Sofa B'Shkaga. It's got to be a Tchilasa V'Sofa B'Shkaga, where even the Sofo is an act of a Malach. Again, Rabosai, don't misunderstand me. There's only one Malach going on over here. But in terms of Hilchus Maisa Malacha, he's got to be a shogeg in the Maisa Malacha. If at some point in time he becomes a mazid in the Maisa Malacha, then you can no longer classify the Maisa as a Maisa b'shogeg, because at one point he becomes a mazid. At what point does he become a mazid? At the point in which he could have terminated the action and he failed to do so. Meaning, he became aware of the fact that it's Shabbos. He had within his potential, with his hand, the ability to call something back, to retract it. By not doing so, he is completing the malacha b'mezit. And that's what he says, sefer meaning the Zeh HaKlal, asan is calling for a case of lelachta u'misna. Again, there are a lot of nuances here about what this means, but the bottom line is that the object that he's throwing at somebody is being held by a rope. The rope is still in his hand. And he can do one of two things. He can either grab the object back by pulling the object with the rope, or just remaining passive in that state. So I'm going to read to you the beer here on this Rav Kahana, and he says the following. Now, the mitzias of this, I've been flying up to the conceptual worlds, but if you come back down to the feet on the ground, is a mule. Okay, you have a mule, and what they used to do with the mule is they would attach. I should say they would lay down a merchandise or a pot, an earthenware pot, whatever it is, on the middle of the back of the mule, and then they would balance two other pots on two sides. And he says the following: Lachta is Eitz Katan Shekaful Rosho. It's kind of like a piece of wood that has a curvature, a hook, if you will, at its end. Umeshamesh, and what function does this particular wooden hook have? Lekleyayin hakruyim dursturskamin. Okay, this is the Aramaic word for these kinds of barrels of wine. Hatluyim bechavolim mishneit sidei achamor. So he's got a barrel of wine on the right side of the mule, and another barrel of wine on the left side, and he ties the two together over the back of the mule with a rope. Umechaber mishnei achavolim bi'et ze kidei sheyachziku hadardorim ze ze. So he attaches this, he's got control over the rope with this utensil, which is called a lachta, or a lechta maybe, lechta, and the umisna is the rope. So he hooks the lechta into the misna, and Mechaber mishnei achavolim bi'etze. Okay, kidei sheyachziku ha-dardurim zetze, meaning these two barrels. Umisna, he says, misna is a chevel, I guess a thick rope. Shederech ha-lichta lios kosher b'chevel katsar. Okay, so he ties down this lichta with a short rope. Okay, so more or less what we have is we've got an object that is hooked and he hooks it into a rope. Okay, now what's going on? So he says the following. So the rope is like hanging down from this lichta, and he takes the misna, right, the chevel, and he throws it in a direction of a person, such that the lichta is going to wound that person, but he still has the chevel, the other end of the rope, in his hand. Klomar, okay, now the beer, based on Rashi, the long Rashi that he explains this. Haptur, why is he put in the Zaklal? Bitchilasa bishkaga, okay, v'nizkar shayom Shabbos, kodem sofa vera. Okay, so we have a case where at the beginning he forgot it was Shabbos, and before the Avera was complete, he reminded himself it's Shabbos. Who rak, it only applies to the following case, according to Rav Huna. And that is, B'esh Nizkar, at the moment that he realized it was Shabbos, Hoya biyado lahafsik es maisa vera, he had the ability to terminate the action. The Kaven Shalo Hifsik, and says Rav Kahana, if he chose not to terminate the Avera, Harehu Mezit, he's called a Mezit. What I'm trying to embellish here, right, this is a little beyond the beer, is that he's not just a Mezit because of the mindset. You know, I'm gonna put electrodes on his forehead and figure out what he has in his brain, and boom. The word Shabbos appears on the computer screen, right? So he knows it's Shabbos. No, it's more than that. He knows it's Shabbos. He could have terminated the Maisa by just pulling it back, and he failed to do so. And therefore, he becomes amazed. He's actually amazed as far as this Malach is concerned. I mean, that's a whole nother pshat now in Mishnah. He becomes a Chal Shem Mezid. He started the malacha as a shogeg, but now he becomes amazing on this very malacha. Aval, or as Rav Goldich would say, aval, aval, aval. I don't know if you're familiar with his style. I heard him many times because as Rosh Yeshiva, he would always come to present to Y, you know, recruit for YU, so he'd give us a guest year. Aval bizorek stam. What's going to be in a case of a person who throws something and there are no strings attached, he's not holding on to the rope, and he was a shogeg when he threw it, and now he remembers that it's Shabbos, there's no way of recalling, retracting the Eva and the stone. Then Zechiraso, even though he remembers it's Shabbos, Eino Milo V'morid Klum. And now we're going to say that the Malacha of Zrika was done b'shogeg from beginning to end. The fact that he changed his awareness is irrelevant. We have to change the maisa. We have to make him into a mezid. The fact that he's aware doesn't make him into a mezid, because the malach is inherent in his zrika. As far as that zrika is concerned, we have a shogeg. Hazrika nechsheves li achar gemara maisa. Ah, I like that. It's as if he had completed the Maisa, even though, again, the Maisa hasn't completed. You know, it didn't land in the next Rishus, right? It's still in midair. So the Maisa is considered a complete Maisa B'Shkoga, and his awareness of Shabbos. Now, Rav Kahana has a reconciliation of this Mishnah. Bereisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, we're talking about Zorek V'Yotzasa Miyodo. He threw something, and he has no way of recalling it, of pulling it back. He's potter for another reason, Rabbi. So why is he potter in the Reisha? Because there was no Anocha. is because what? Kevan Shiyotzim Nofiyanu Yochalach Zira is Hatam Shu Potter in the Mishnah is because there was no Hanacha Aval Benacha. If it would have landed in a Makom Dalet Al Dalet, Chayov Vaseifa Shepotra Benizkar Be'emtza. That's not a case of Zorek. He could have, at that moment in time, drawn the object back. Shelo yavor. El Rishus Hashniyo L'merchak Arba Amos V'lachay Nechshav Shesofo B'mezid U'pot. Wow. This is, from my perspective, a total revolution of what this Tchilos of Shogeg V'sofo B'mezid Hava. You know, you would ask me, I would have said, you know, before the Malacha completed itself, I don't need a sofo b'meizid that makes him into the bala maisa b'meizid. No, I don't need a maisa malacha b'meizid. What I look at is a span of time, and I want to know if from time T1 till time T2, when the malacha was completed, he was amazed. If somewhere along there, you know, time T1A, he became amazed, you know, he's no longer shogeg. He's got to be a shogeg from time T1 to time T2, from the beginning till the end, from the akir till the anocha. That's what I would have said without Rav Kahana. But then I'm stuck because the Mishnah says that the reason he's potter is because the Kelev, you know, grabbed the object, did the anocha. Comes along Rav Kahana with a brand new definition of the Zerakla. So the Gemara is not happy with Rav Kahana. Why? You're telling me the Sefer is talking about a case of lechta umisna ugdo biyadohu. That's a case of ugdo biyado, which means that he's throwing an object and the object is tied down to something that's in his hand. That's not a zrika at all. The Mishnah is talking about a zrika. And if it's ogdo biyado, that's not considered a zrika. He says, I'm just adding the beer here, he says, af ilu hayashogeg mitchilo v'atzof, in the case of lechto misna, what happens if he wouldn't have been aware of Shabbos before the end of the malacha? Rav Kahana is saying that in that case he's potter, because he became aware of the malacha before it was completed. But if it would have been completed without his awareness of Shabbos, he was a shogeg mitchilo v'atzof, he would be chayev. That's not so. Even if he would have been shogeg mitchilo v'atzof, he'd be potter, because there's no such thing as a maleches hotzah, I should say zrika, when it's ogdo biyado. So the Mishnah is saying that he's potter. Why? Because it was sofo b'mezid, implying had he been sofo b'shogeg b'chayev. I have a different reason why he would not be chayev, even if it would have been sofo b'shogeg, and that's because it's ogdo biyado. As long as it's ogdo biyado, he's not chayev. That's not called a zrika. Okay. Now, this the source in Masechet Shabbos for Ugdo Biyado is a Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to make a valiant effort at trying to make some sense out of Rav Kahana, to salvage Rav Kahana. And what the Gemara is going to offer now is an interpretation of the Sefer, meaning the Zeh HaKlal, and it's not talking about a case of Hotsa and Havara, but maybe, because you remember there were three paragraphs in the Mishnah. The opening paragraph was where he found out it was Shabbos, and then it was caught by the dog. And the last case in the Mishnah, the last paragraph was Zakla. But in the middle, we had the case where he was victimizing someone, and he was trying to wound him. So perhaps the Zaklal is going back to the Chabura case. Kigon Niskamin Lasos Chabura, which in terms of the structure of the Mishnah is very comforting. We can feel very comfortable that the Zaklal is an extension and attachment to the Chabura case. Now in the Chabura case, Ugdo Biodo is totally irrelevant. If Reuven throws a dangerous object at Shimon to wound him, he's going to be chayav for that, whether or not he's holding on to, you know, to the rope. That's totally irrelevant. You know, holding on to the rope could be a mitigating factor in Melechus Zorek on Shabbos, but it has no bearing on being chovel b'chavero. Okay, so now we have chovel b'chavero on Shabbos, which we said comes under the, it's a tolda of Meleches Netilas Neshama. And he has a definite interest in wounding his buddy over here. Or maybe an animal, whatever it might be. Then he forgot it was Shabbos, and he threw this kind of a hooked piece of wood that's attached to a rope. So now the Mishnah tells us that if midway he finds out that it's Shabbos, and he has the potential of pulling the rope back before it hits the target, hits its victim, and he fails to do so, he's potter from a karbon. Why is he potter from a karbon? Because it's sofo b'mezid. Says Rav Kahana, what makes him a sofo b'mezid? The fact that he is completing this malacha actively. Again, when I say actively in inverted commas, and he didn't do anything active to complete the malacha. He started the malacha actively, and then the object flew on its own. But at some point, since it's ogdo biyodo, he could have pulled it back. So what are you going to tell me? That had he been a shogeg from beginning to end, he'd be potter anyway because of ogdo biyodo. That's only true when you're dealing with meleches zorek. But if you're dealing with meleches notel netils neshama, and Meleches Chabura, it's totally irrelevant whether it's Ugdo Biyodo or not. So therefore, will he be Chayev Echatos or not? So the Mishnah tells me that it depends. If he's got Ugdo Biyodo and he finds out it's Shabbos, which means that he could have intercepted or terminated the Malacha midway before it was complete, and he deliberately decided to let it fly, that's considered amazing in the Maisa Malacha, according to Rav Kahana. And don't ask me, well, it's Ogdo Biyodo. It's not Ogdo Biyodo is irrelevant in Meleches Chovel B'Chavero. So this is the Gemara's opportunity to defend Rav Kahana by reinterpreting the klal, the zeh klal, in the light of Rav Kahana. And again, Rav Kahana understood the zeh klal as meaning that he could have pulled back before the malacha was complete, and he was aware of Shabbos. In such a case, he's sofa b'mezid. And the case is not meleches rika, from one rishus to the other, but rather meleches chovel. So that we solve and we circumvent the problem of ugdo biyodo. And now we have a sofa b'mezid because he chose when he found out it was Shabbos to remain so to speak passive and allow the lechta of a derech, pardon the pun, to go through its derech. So Gemara doesn't like this either. Hanami Tnina. I'm still in trouble, because then the Zeh Klal is in effect repeating that middle section of the Chabura. Now, if the Mishnah had omitted the case of Chabura and then mentioned the Zeh Klal, then the Zeh Klal would have been justified. What will be if Lu Yitzuri throws somebody at an object at someone, he throws him a stone, he's about to injure him, and he finds out it's Shabbos. But the Mishnah itself spells this out. Hanami Tnina. We have it in the Mishnah. Quote, the Mishnah says, Azorik Lasos Chabura. Bein bi adam, bein bi behema, v'niz karat shelo nasis chabura potur. And the reason why he's potter, because of Nizkar, he remembers that it's Shabbos before it made the Chabura. Is if that be the case, that's exactly what the Zeh Klal is reiterating. It's not adding a thing. It's only repeating that which we know. Again, if he's holding on, according to Rav Kahana, to the string that's attached to the stone that he throws as a Chabura, and according to Rav Kahana, that's the only reason why he's potter, is because he reminds himself that it's Shabbos while he's holding on to the string. If that be the case, and that's the p'tur of Chatos here, then what's the Zeh Klal? The Zeh Klal, kol chayve Chatos, einem chayovet ad she'ei tchilos v'sof mishkoga. I mean, it must be telling me some din that that goes above and beyond the lechto umasna. The lechto umasna is right here in the Mishnah. We have no other choice. In the case in the Mishnah of Azorik Lasas Chabura, and he's potur because he reminds himself of Shabbos, according to Rav Kahana, why is he potur? Because he reminds himself. It could only be because he's holding on to the string that's attached to the stone. Because Rav Kahana's understanding of Sofa B'mezid is that he could have pulled it back, and he refused to do so. So what case is the Zeh Klal adding to what we already know from the previous clause in the Mishnah? Eloma Rava B'mavir, which means Mavir Arba Amos B'shusha Rabin. So at this point, it seems that Rav Kahana is still, Rava is still on board with Rav Kahana, meaning he's still trying to make some sense out of Rav Kahana, accepting Rav Kahana. I emphasize that because soon we're going to get to the Ella Omar Rava, where Rava drops Rav Kahana entirely. And according to Rav Kahana, we're talking about a Zorek, the Eino Yachol LaShiva, and was saying that in that case, he certainly would be Chayav according to Rav Kahana, and that's called Sofa Bishkaga, even though he was Nizkar, he reminds himself of Shabbos, but he doesn't have the possibility of returning the stone. So according to Rav Kahana, he's Chayav because that's called Tchilos of a Sofa Bishkaga. And therefore, Our Mishnah must be introducing a case of Hanocha, where there was no Hanocha. The fault and the absence of Hanocha is going to exempt him from a Chatos. The fact that he reminded himself that it's Shabbos, that would not exempt himself from a Chatos, because as Rav Kahana says, that's called Sofa Bishkoga, because he has no, it's not feasible for him to retract the stone. Okay. So now we get to the klal in the Sefer. And the klal in the Sefer, according to Rav Kahana, must by definition refer to a case where he could have pulled it back before the malacha was completed. It can't be the case of Zorek Lechabura, because that's written in the Mishnah. But rather it's a case of Mavir. He is carrying an object in his hands, four amos in Rishus HaRabim, and now before he gets to the end of the four amos, he reminds himself it's Shabbos. Now what could he have done before he gets to the four amos? He could have stopped dead in his track, and he never would have completed a Melechus Havaris Dalet Amos. That's the Zeh HaKlal. So that now the mission can be divided up into three paragraphs. We'll call it Shalosh Bavos. So we have the Bava Rishona, the Bava Kamaisa, and that's a case where he threw something and he's not, there are no strings attached, and the only way and the only reason he could be potter from a chatas is because there was no anocha, it was taken by intervention. Then we have the case of Rav Kahana, where he threw an object but he's holding on to the rope, and he finds out about it before it hits the target, the object hits the target, he could have pulled it back. That's called Sofa B'mezid. And now we have the Zeh HaKlal, which is another scenario, an alternative scenario of a Meleches Hotzah, but not through Zrika, but through Havara. Havara means he's carrying it. And he could have stopped before he got to the Dalet Amos. And he refuses to stop. And went, I'm sorry, I left out the main condition. And he reminds himself it's Shabbos. And he continues carrying the object till he gets to the end of the four Amos. That's called Sofo B'mezid. So the Gemara is not happy with that either. And it seems that Rava is going to slug himself up in this case. And he's going to ask himself, V'azeh klal azrika katani. I don't get it. The Mishnah gives two different scenarios, one in the Reish and one in the Emtza'i, of Zrika. And then it has the Zeh HaKlal. The Zeh HaKlal is referring to Havara? Like, give it a break. Like, where's the shift over here? We're not talking about Havara. The Mishnah doesn't even mention Havara. It's logical that the Mishnah in Zeh HaKlal would be referring back to what came before it, which is Zrika. Whether it be the first case of Zrika, when it's not Biyado, when it be the second case of Zrika, where it is Biyado. But we're talking about Zrika. All of a sudden you're injecting into the Mishnah a case of Havara. What you're basically doing is you're wedging between the Zeh HaKlal and what came before the Zeh HaKlal. That's not acceptable. So he says here, I'll just again summarize the beer. He says, Azrika Ketani, the Ketani Azrika Ketani, Nishneh Le'inyin Din Zrika, Sharei Adin Shalafanov. No, it's the din that's formulated by the Mishnah right before the Zeh HaKlal. Osek bizorik chefetz lasos chabura. Klal zem mosiv. Shehu adin lamavir. Is it possible that now the klal is jumping over to mavir, where he's carrying it in his hand? Okay. So again, since the Mishnah is mentioning Zeh HaKlal in the context of Zrika, and Rava admits that the classic Zrika is where you throw it and it's not attached to you, it would seem that the Zeh HaKlal is referring to the classic structure of Zrika. And then we're stuck with Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana insists that in the classic structure of Zrika, we would not have a Zeh HaKlal, and the fact that he's amazed, you know, before the object lands is irrelevant. Oh. So now we're at a turning point. This is going to be the Ella Omar Rava. At this point in the Shakla V'Tarya, the Gemara is rejecting Rav Kahana. And Zorek Chefetz, even if it's Ein Ugdo Biyado, if he reminds himself midway, that's going to be considered Sofo B'mezit. Right? So again, just to reiterate, we're talking about Sofo B'mezit in a classic Zorek situation where once he throws it, it's out of his hands, both literally and figuratively, it's out of his hands. And here's where we're going to apply the principle of Sofo B'mezid. Elama Rava Tartik Tani. Let's go through the Mishnah. And we're going to have to add something to the Mishnah. Hazorek v'nizkar me'achar sheyotza miyodo. He threw something, and after he threw it, before it landed, he reminded himself that it's Shabbos today. Inami. Oh, that was the O that I was looking for. So at least I, for one, am a happy camper. I hope you're also happy. You know, it's good to be happy, right? And we're going to add an Inami. He writes here in the footnote that the Marsha claims that Kavanas Rava Lagias HaMishnah. Rav is actually changing the language of the Mishnah. It's not a commentary on the Mishnah. Shalafi Lashon HaMishnah Shlefanenu, if you take the language as we have it in our text, Rav would agree that he's got to add the first part of the Mishnah to the next part of the Mishnah, meaning it's a Chisaron in the Hanocha, which Kol Ta'acher. Okay. Inami, another case where he's not chayev for a shogeg, is lo nizkar, even though he was a shogeg from beginning to end, but klota acher, o klota kelev, o shenisrafa, patur. So now we have a new category of patur. In the first case, he's patur because it was nizkar. In the second case, it was lo nizkar. So what's the patur? And the answer is because there was no halachic hanocha in this havara. And therefore, even though it's tchilos over sofa b'shgaga, and he didn't remember that it was Shabbos, nevertheless he's potter because there was never a full-fledged melecha sotso, zrika to be more precise, because it ended up in the mouth of a dog or in the fire, etc. So he adds a note here. He says, "Be often asheni potur." In the case where it lands in the mouth of a dog, he's potur mishum shelo nocha kidine anocha. Oh, now what about the case of zorak lasos chabura? He says, "Vegam dina mishna shel zorek lasos chabura." Osek bizorik even she'ein ugda biyado v'eino yochol la'ashiva. Now, according to Rav's new pshat, by adding those two words inami, even in the case where he threw something at someone to injure him, he's not holding on to any rope. Umikomakom potur kishen nizkar, because he reminded himself that Shabbos before the chaburu was made. Mishum sheshas asiyas hachabura haisa zodo. In other words, the melacha was completed when he was aware of Shabbos. Zaklal shebesefer bala rabos shelo bizorek levado demar lochazu el gam b'maver chevitz biyodo v'nodolo b'emtza potu. So if I understand correctly, there's now a third case in the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah is Zorek, and he's chayv from Lechas Otsa. The second case of the Mishnah is Zorek, where he's chayv from Lechas Chabura. And in both those two cases, he's potur if he's nizkar, even though it's impossible for him to retract it. It's not ogdo biyodo. And the Zeklal is introducing a third case, because it's going beyond Zrika into other Malachos, Zaklal, and it's coming to the case of Mavir, where he's carrying the object, and he finds out before he gets to the end of Dalet Amos that it's Shabbos. Is Eino Mischayev Ad Shetiyeh Tchilos of a Sofa B'Shgog. You know, what I find that this is sort of anticlimactic. I mean, the first two cases of the Mishnah, at least, are telling you Gevaldik Echidish against Rav Kahana, that even though it's not Ugdo Biyodo, since he's Nizkar, he's not a Shogeg and he's Potter. The third case is a case where even Rav Kahana would have said he's Potter if he was Nizkar, because he's carrying it. It's almost like we're going back instead of going forward. L'chein sasa matana v'shona gam l'gabi yisrika es haklal shetzorch liyeh t'chila v'sof b'shkaga mishum shegam b'stam zorek she'ein b'yodo l'hafzik es ha'vera nemar klal ze u'kshe nizkar b'emtza potu. So in other words, why did the Mishnah, if you have the Inami, open up in the Reisha with an application of a rule that's going to apply when we get to the Sefer? In other words, when we get to Zaklal, we know that if a person, because Zaklal is talking about Mavir, right? But we know according to Rava, by placing the Inami, that in the Reisha he's potter because he was Nizkar. And it's not a case of Ugdo Biyado. So what we're gaining over here, just this last point, and then we'll end it, is that why do we need the Reisha? Once we have the Sefer, and we understand that Zach Klal means that if you have a Yediyah somewhere before the end of the Blocha, you're potter from a Chata, so what did the Reisha add? And the answer is, the Reisha wanted to add even a case where he cannot rescind his Hotzah because he did his Rika. And you would have said, well, Bishlam, in the case of the Zaklal, the Mavir, that's where he could retract his Hotzah, his Havara, really, before he completes his Havara. But maybe in the case of Zrika, where he had no possibility of terminating his Rika before the Malacha was completed, and now he has a Nizkar, maybe in such a case he should be Chayav. Because the Mavir case is a case where he had a sofo b'mezid mamish, mamish meaning with a Malacha, a Maisa Malacha. Kamash Malon, I need the Reisha to teach me that even though there's clearly no Maisa Malacha when the Zrika completes itself on its own and he has a Nizkar, he reminds himself of Shabbos. Nevertheless, he's potter from a Chatos. But again, the only problem I have here, if anybody has a solution, is it seems to me like the Mishnah is moving backwards in a sense. Not forwards. Because if in the regular classic Zrika, he's going to be potter because of Sofo B'mezid, then Kolshkein, in the case of Mavir, unless maybe at this point the Gemara is saying that the Chiddush of the Zaklal is going beyond the confines of Melechas Hotzah, that in any Melacha, the other 38 Melachas, if he was a Shogeg B'tchila, but then before the Melacha was completed, like let's say he was writing two letters, and between the first and the second letter, he reminds himself it's Shabbos. So it's not, it's not Sofo b'Shkaga. So that's where the Mishnah is being Mechadish of these part. Oh, I see Baruch Shekivanti, the Marsha is quoted here in the Masifta. He asks my Kasha. Altirutz Kasha, Altirutz Shal Rav Mahutzuk Zaklal. Lohavi Mavir, Halo Kalvachomer, who im Zorik Shein Biodolatzor Sachefet, Nechshav, Bishel Zhiroso, Lisofo Zodon, Upotur, even when he cannot be Mavato Lotso, in the ration, the classic case of Zorik, he's still considered Sofo Bemez and he's Potur, Kolshkin, how much more so, Shemavir, where it's a case of Biodolavatla, Yechoshev Kisofo Zodon v'yiftar. I mean, I understand very well that this is certainly a more extreme case of Sofa Mason, where by walking that last Amma after he knows the Shabbos, he's in effect completed the Malacha B'mezid. V'tireitz, here's the Marsha's answer, Shekol Hakaroso, I'm sorry, Kol Hechrecho Shel Rava Liyesod Shezchira Poteres Gam kishe'en biyodolatzer sachifetz, hainu mibava zu, shebiladeha, hainu mefarshim saresha kirav kahana, bezorek ubiyodola otso, upturo, mishum shalonach hachifetz kidino, Anachmal Shebila Deha Hayinu Mefarshim Esareisha Kerav Kahana Bezorik Vialana Upatur Mishum Shelo Nocha Chifetz Kedino Aval Achshav Sheshona Rebbe Esabava Shel Zeh Klal Yefshel Lomar Kain. Just read to you the language of the Marsha. He writes, "V'yeshli Yashiv the Ilo Havi K'toni Zaklal Hava Mina the Chabura Iri Dafka Belichtov Masna V'lo Havi Talinon Bereisha." Then he writes, "Inami Kolta." I guess it wouldn't have said Kolta when the Kelev took it. Aval hashda the ketoni zaklal lekel meimer hoch kiri parmin aval zaklal ketoni azrika mehay tana nami. Now he goes off on a different. Somehow the extra zaklal teaches us that for sure, in the resha, he's potter because it's so amazing, even though it was ein ogdo biyad. So ayin shom, take a look in the marsha if you have a chance. So Blineta, tomorrow we'll start with the last explanation of our Mishnah, which is offered here in the name of Rav Ashi.